Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 5, Karma Yoga Action in Krishna Consciousness, text number 14. Vikartrivam Karmani Lokasya Srijati Prabho Nakarma Bhala Sam Yogam Svabhavastu Pavartate Na, never, Kartridvam, proprietorship, na, nor, karmani, activities, lokasya, of the people, Sri Jati, creates, Prabhu, the master of the city of the body, Na nor karma pala with the results of activities sam yogam connection sabhava the modes of material nature to but pravartate act. Translation and purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Purport. The living entity, as will be explained in the seventh chapter, is one of the energies or natures of the Supreme Lord. But it's distinct from matter, which is another nature called inferior of the Lord. Somehow, the superior nature, the living entity, has been in contact with material nature since time immemorial. The temporary body or material dwelling place which he obtains is the cause of varieties of activities and their resultant reactions. Living in such a conditional atmosphere, one suffers as a result of the activities of the body by identifying himself in ignorance with the body. It is ignorance acquired from time immemorial that is the cause of bodily suffering and distress. As soon as the living entity becomes aloof from the activities of the body, he becomes free from the reactions as well. As long as he's in the city of body, he appears to be the master of it, but actually is neither its proprietor nor controller of his actions and reactions. He's simply in the midst of the material ocean, struggling for existence. The waves of the ocean are tossing him, and he has no control over them. His best solution is to get out of the water by transcendental Krishna consciousness. That alone will save him from all turmoil. So text 14 again. Nakartrivam nakaramani lokasya srijati prabho nakarma pala samyogam svabhavastu pavartate. The embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Interesting to note that in the verse, Krishna says, calls the soul Prabhu, and is translated as the master of the city of the body. Sri Jati Prabhu. The Kartrivam, the Karmani, he's not the proprietor, nor is he creating activities, but he's considered the master of the city of the body. And in the Purport, Prabhupada says, he is neither his proprietor nor the controller of his actions and reactions. So in what way is the soul the master of the city of the body? If he's not the proprietor, he's not the doer, Kartrivam, he's not the proprietor, He's not the doer. He doesn't create the results. And yet he's the Prabhu. In what way is he the Prabhu? Yes?
He owns the blame.
He owns the choices. And if he makes the wrong choice, well, he gets the result of whatever he desires. So the body was created by the material nature, but the material nature isn't just trying to create things. It's creating things on the basis of the soul's desires. Otherwise, if all the souls went back to Godhead, the material nature would not be creating things just for the sake of creating things. So the whole material existence exists due to the desires of the souls. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any material creation. And at every moment, we can utilize our capacity to desire. Just like if you're sitting down to eat prasadam, now you can eat so many plates of prasadam, because that's what you want, or you can take what's necessary. Now, if you eat so many plates of prasadam, you get a certain result, a certain experience. And if you eat what you need, then you also get an experience. So that's up to this desire, that's up to the soul. That way he's the master of the city of the body. Because according to how he desires, a certain result will be there. Now, his desires are not independent. We may desire, but it's up to Krishna to fulfill that desire, as we'll find out in the next verse. But if the soul wasn't desiring, he wouldn't get a material body. Or if he desires to please Krishna, then he'll become aloof from the body. But as long as he's desiring in terms of his own desires, then the material nature will act accordingly. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that sarva prakriti jargana, sarva, this is the ninth chapter. What's the chapter? Maidakshena prakriti sute sutaracharam. That's the ninth chapter. Yeah, that's the ninth chapter. Yeah. Sarva. Let's see. Before that. Okay, here we go. Sarva bhutani kundya prakriti myanti mamikam kalpashe punaspatani kalpado vishri jamyaham. O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium, all material manifestations enter into my nature, and at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I create them again and again. Prakritim swam avashitavya vishvidami punak punak putagramami mam kritsnam avasham prakritir avashat. Again and again, the whole cosmic order is under me. By my will, it is automatically manifested again and again, and by my will, it is annihilated at the end. The Nichama Tani Karmani Nibanati Dharanjaya Udasinad Varasinama Sakam Teshu Karmasu. All this work cannot buy me. I am ever detached, seated as though neutral. So in the material world, Krishna is completely neutral. Although under his direction, material nature is causing so many things, is manifesting so many things. But Krishna is not responsible for what the material nature is manifesting. Its soul, simply Krishna takes into account the desire of the soul and what he deserves, and then the soul is put into a certain circumstance. Now it appears to us that it's a continuous circumstance, that everything is just continuously going on, flowing. But actually, it's snapshots. Going very quickly, like in a movie. That one film, one snapshot after another. So the material nature is one snapshot, big three-dimensional or multi-dimensional snapshot, appearing one after another, appearing to be a flow, but it's actually sequences of snapshots, like in a movie. And there the soul has the opportunity to desire. and according to how he's reacting to his circumstances and desiring, then things are being accumulated. Krishna is noting it all down as a super soul, and it's all being figured out exactly when in the future the reaction to that desire will be manifested. Just like bumblebees, they go out and they gather pollen from flowers. And they come back to the hive and they bring all the pollen together and it makes honey. Now honey, the taste of the honey is depending upon what kind of flowers the bee or the bees got the pollen from. Similarly, according to our karma, we're collecting little bits of karma here and there, and they're being solidified into the honey of the reaction, and at a certain time we'll taste the reaction to all those different activities that we were doing and desires. And that's going on, one after another. So anything we're experiencing now is accumulated reactions to our previous desires and activities. And we're tasting it in the form of a material experience. Now, therefore, the Kartriva, we didn't create this body in one sense, although our desires, by our desires, then we got put into this body, by desires and our karma. It's just like if you have a certain amount of money, you can pay an architect to build a building for you. Now, you didn't create the building, but you get the chance to go into the building and enjoy it. Someone else created the building for you, and it was according to how much money you had. So according to what we deserve, then we get the chance to inhabit a certain body. And then we get to enjoy it. But when your money runs out, you can't pay the bills, and they turn off the electricity, they turn off the gas, they turn off the water, and if you don't pay the mortgage, they kick you out of the house. So you paid for it, you built it, but eventually you probably have to leave it. Especially when you die, unless they bury you in the house. You have to leave. You have to leave the house. And even if they're buried in the house, then you have to go into another house. The soul still has to transmigrate. So we don't create the activities because the material, we can't do anything. We're actually aloof from this whole material existence. But because we have consciousness, therefore we illuminate the whole body with consciousness, just like the sun illuminates everything in the daytime. Yata prakashya ekam krishnam lokam imam ravi kshetra tata shetnam prakashya ekam krishnam lokam imam ravi tata eva chavishtaram brahmasampadite tata. Just like the sun alone illuminates the entire universe with sunlight, so the soul, one within the body, illuminates the entire body with consciousness. So because we're not only a little tiny soul, but we have consciousness, so much consciousness that infinitesimal soul can actually inhabit the body of the biggest thing that I know of. Let's see, what was it? Timangal fish. Just imagine, little tiny soul, 1/10,000 the size of tip hair in size, and its consciousness can pervade the body of a Timangal fish, which takes blue whales, size of practically aircraft carriers, and swallows them like little fish. So the soul can be quite powerful. Or it can inhabit the body of a Indra Gopa germ, which is rather limited. In any case, the soul, when gets put into a body, by his consciousness, on the gross and subtle platform, he gets to enjoy it and identify with it and believe that he's actually going through he's experiencing, but what he's experiencing is exactly the same kind of experience that one has in a dream. The experience is real, the dream is not real, in the sense the dream is only temporary. And what's actually going on is not what we think is going on. Therefore, it's a dream. We think we're going through the experience, but actually the experience was created for us, and we're going through that experience, like watching a movie. But this is a very dynamic movie. This is they're trying to make these movies of immersion movies when you have 3D, and they even try to induce smell and vibrations, whatever. But this is the most perfect virtual reality that you can ever imagine. Virtual reality on every single platform of existence, and even platforms of existence we can't even imagine. And all created by the material nature. So the material nature, being Krishna's nature, daivyesha gunamayi, mama maya dharatya, mameva ye prabhadente, mayam etam dharantite. Material nature, consisting of the three modes, Krishna says is difficult to overcome, because it's mama maya, it's my nature. And even when the coward boys entered into the jaw of Agasura, Krishna was struck with wonder to see how his nature is working. Even Krishna is quite impressed by his nature. So what to speak of our insignificant little selves. And therefore, all these fantastic activities that are going on, or the unfantastic activities that are going on, still it's all being created by the material nature, and we're experiencing it. And in Kali Yuga, because of the predominance of experience of ignorance, we're not very satisfied or happy with our situation. But even in the heavenly planets, where the mode of goodness is predominated, no one's happy there either. But they're certainly happier than we are. But here it explains some vision, and we should try to capture that vision. Bhagavad Gita is, like other books, is not more or less trying to convict, to tell us about the future and so many different things. It's trying to give us a vision. It's not even telling us more or less how to avoid problems, although it does tell us that, avoid getting attached to lust, anger, and greed, because that's where all the problems come from. But really what it's trying to do is give us a vision so we don't become attached to lust, anger, and greed. We don't become attached to material sense gratification. That we're not the doers of the activities, nor do we induce others to act, nor are we responsible for the results of activities. This will all be manifested by the modes of material nature, all according to our desire. So if we put our desire into Krishna consciousness, then everything auspicious for us will happen. And that means not material, but spiritual. That is spiritual auspiciousness. Means that automatically, whatever happens to this body, whether it be good or bad, whatever in between, we won't be much identified with. And on the other hand, we'll enter into the spiritual nature, which is our natural nature, and we can begin our real life and activities where we actually do something meaningful, namely participate in the process of prema bhakti, love for Krishna and love for everyone, produce transcendental happiness and pleasure and enlightenment. Here we're producing a lot of things, but it has nothing to do with transcendental love, enlightenment, and pleasure eternally. So that's actually productive. If you can produce transcendental pleasure eternally with full and ever-expanding consciousness of it, well, that's really productive. And if you're not doing that, then what is anyone accomplishing here? Can anyone say what anyone is really accomplishing? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Getting up in the morning, working hard to maintain the body, and then growing old and dying. Get another body to do the same thing. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Throw it up in the air, whoever can.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. In this verse it says that the living entity does not induce others to act. Why did Krishna have to mention this separately, that one does not induce others to act? Not only does not the living entity act, or is the...
Well, it doesn't say that. It says in the Prabhupada writes in the translation, does not induce others to act. But the general thing, lokasya, let's see, of the people, activities of the people, creates. Because the soul is not doing anything. Of course, he's desiring, and the result of his desire is he becomes responsible. If he dovetails his desires with that of the material nature, then he becomes entangled. But he doesn't really create anything. It's all being done by the material nature. He's simply desiring. He's always transcendental. Like, for instance, you may have a big machine and you press a button and a missile comes out. Now, you didn't make the machine. You're not the missile. But you're responsible because you pressed the button. So you're responsible, but you're not really doing the activity directly. So by our desires, we're responsible. Now, if we desire what Krishna wants through his representatives, then that goes on by the spiritual energy. So Krishna gives us the credit for it, but we're actually not doing anything either. It's the spiritual energy that's doing it. So we have to be careful. When we're doing things spiritually, we don't take the credit because we know it's coming from Krishna through his representatives. So we give the credit to them. And we're just happy that they give us the intelligence that that's what we're supposed to be doing. Now we do it the other thing. We're not really doing anything, but we get the result. We get the result if we do things that we desire to fulfill Krishna's desires through his representatives. We get the result of becoming Krishna conscious. We get a spiritual body eventually. Our spiritual body manifests. And we get the result also. Another material body we get put into another body. So in one sense, we get the result, but we're not really, we're not the doers. Yes?
What would be your understanding? Is a virus a living entity?
Yeah, of course.
We had a debate in the BBT many years ago.
Well, if it's born, if it grows, if it reproduces, if it dwindles and dies, that means the soul must be there. No, I don't know. What exactly what a virus does.
Meaning, it's not a separate. It can exist only by invading some other cell.
Well, we're like that too. We're like that also. A lot of countries, that's the only way they exist. Anyhow, the cell is also the soul. There's a soul inside the cell. Yeah, it's so inconceivable. The whole thing is so inconceivable to us. Once we go outside our limited range of experience, that we start crossing things out because we can't. It's too inconceivable. How can Krishna have a relationship with so many living entities? How can there be so many living entities? It doesn't seem right. But that's our limited conception of things. We're frogs in wells. Anything else? Yes.
You mentioned that actually material energy follows our desires in creating things, so it had to have some beginning. I mean, we just cannot desire something out of nothing, So probably our first impressions are from spiritual world. And
well, if you want to speculate, try to figure out something you can't understand, go ahead. I'll see you next week.
That's why I'm asking if you.
That's why Prabhupada said, don't bother trying to figure it out, because we don't have the adhikari at this present moment. If Krishna is not giving you the intelligence, then we're not on the platform to understand it. It's like an example he used in the fifth canto, where Shukadeva Goswami is trying to describe someone who's trying to figure out the material universe. It's like an ant crawling on the ground on the first floor, trying to figure out what's going on in the top of the Empire State Building. He just won't be able to do it, no matter what he... Even someone knows, they try to give an explanation, you won't be able to figure it out, what they're talking about. It's beyond our capacity. You have to be on a different platform of experience to understand it.
But there is possibility of getting the other card probably.
Yeah, sure, if that's what your aim of life is to figure out. You know, if you're drowning in the ocean, someone comes along and tries to pick you up, say, wait a second, you know, I'm here to figure out why I'm drowning. Come back when I figure it out. No, when you go back to the spiritual world, you'll understand, but it won't make any difference. Because it really makes no difference. Right now we're in the material universe. However we got here, we're still here. However we got into the ocean, he's drowning, it doesn't make any difference. The whole idea is get out. You can figure it out later.
I was once driving with my Guru Maharaj, and he gave a list of questions, and he said, you can discuss those questions on your own, and after you finish, you wake me up.
He went to sleep or something?
I mean, he was saying that if you want to ask any of those questions, then I'm going to sleep, and after you finish, then wake me up.
And that was one of them.
Yeah, similar. Yeah. One of them.
How we came
from the spiritual world. That was one of them.
Well, you never left the spiritual world for your information. We're still in the spiritual world. We're just in the wrong part of it. Anything else? Thank you very much. Gradharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.